Well, this weekend we wrap up our series that we've called our Vision Series that puts before the church, our church, a statement that we believe we embrace and have embraced for years. We really drill into it with some laser focus that says we want to be a people that are about the business of glorifying God by making disciples of all people. That's what we believe God has called us to do here. May sound simple, but we may have restated it 1,000 different ways in many times, and some of you are like, when are we going to get off this? Well, the reality is we're never going to get off this. This is what we hold forth as our mission in this world. Again, I've only been here about a decade now, and for decades before me, this church has been committed to that. And we want to make sure that we continue that commitment. So as we walk the halls and as you talk, if someone were to ask you as a member of CFC or even as a regular visitor to some degree, what are those people over there about? And you can say, well, I can tell you what they're about. They've been telling me for about the last year every weekend, and that is we glorify God by making disciples of all people. That's what we're about. Not perfectly, obviously. We're not perfect people. But that's what we aspire to as a congregation. That is what we strategize and work toward. How can we be responsible to that? And that responsibility follows our trust in the Lord Jesus. Like you've seen today, a living picture of what it looks like for people to trust the Lord Jesus and then obey Him by following through that statement of faith in baptism. And that's what we want to look at today. We want to look at this theme of obedience. It's a word that scares some people. And as parents, you know that word can just cause a complete meltdown in your children to try to talk with them about what is obedience. And yet, God has wired us as people, I believe, made in His image to have a relationship with not just our children, but those under authority of us, of what it means for authority to speak or give loving guidance in a way that can be trusted. And as a result of that trust, the people turn and they follow in obedience. And, you know, you watch it. I mean, I love watching parents with kids. I especially love it when it's my own kids and me, but I love it even with you. I mean, you watch parents give kids a directive. And for that son or daughter to spin on their heels and say, yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am, yes, sir, or no, sir, and carry forth with the direction that parent has given, you just kind of want to wait for trumpet fanfare, you know? You look around and you're like, did you see this? This just causes you to swell with pride. And again, I believe that's hardwired in all of us because I believe God has made us with the acknowledgement that that is a good thing. My sons, obviously, I mean, I want that from them, and I swell with pride when they follow my instructions. And they do so based not just on the fact that I'm stronger or bigger than they are, but they trust me, and they love me, and I'm doing this command out of love for them. Now, I know sometimes in my sinful nature, I do it out of just mere convenience, right? I just don't want to be bothered. Go do this, go do that, because I don't just, yeah, just go. And that's the downside of that. That is what the kids look at, and they call foul on you for that, right? But when that relationship is pure, when that command is given out of love, and their response to that command and through obedience is given out of trust, then we nod our heads as parents. We nod our heads as leaders or supervisors or bosses when that kind of relationship exists between those to whom are under our authority. Well, if we have been supporting this best resolution as our vision of glorifying God by making disciples of all people with these supporting resolutions, how we need to be resolved as a church to fulfill this mission that God has given us, we've said that the difference between God's glory and our glorifying God is that as the glory of God is revealed, and we said He's revealed through the Scripture, He's revealed through creation, He's revealed through the person of Jesus Christ, He's revealed through His Son, Jesus, as God reveals Himself through all these conduits, okay? Then to glorify Him means we give Him that response. As He's revealed His glory, we give Him that response that befits it, that He is worthy of this response. So that's where I kind of want to land this series with a message I've titled The Glory of God Now as It's Revealed Through Obedience, particularly the obedience of those who trust Him, who believe in Him. And this resolution is based on the fact, I believe, that God's authority has always been a big deal. God's authority and our obedience has always been a part of the story. If you go back in creation from the time of Adam and Eve till through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through the prophets, through the kings, through the disciples who later became the apostles. And the only thing different between a disciple and an apostle is one who follows Jesus and walked with him has now been sent. That apostle is one who has been sent by Jesus for a particular mission. So all of that has been wrapped in this relational capacity that flows from authority and our obedience. It's always been a big deal. So we want to be resolved that since the glory of God is revealed through the obedience of his disciples, I will glorify, you will glorify, we will glorify God by making disciples. And we're going to do that today by looking at the text. And as a disciple, you know that there's two parts of always looking at a text, okay? There's the part where we look for what it means. What is the Bible teaching me here? What does it mean? Okay? But we don't lock that knowledge away just to say, okay, I figured that out. I get it. Okay? I understand now why people are baptized. I understand that. But perhaps the most important question is not what the Scripture means, but what can I obey? Obedience is even wrapped into how we read our Bibles, right? So in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus gives us a look at his first act, if you will, of ministry. After he comes out of the wilderness, after the temptation narrative to where he confronts, or Satan confronts him and tests him, after John the Baptist has now been killed, Jesus goes forth to preach and teach. And what does he do? Verse 18 says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Older translations, I love the way it says, I will make you fishers of men. And so they left their nets at once, and they followed him. Verse 21 says, a little farther up the shore, he saw two other fishermen, brothers by the name of James and John. They were sitting in the boat with their father, who was probably the boss of the outfit, Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. And they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind to follow Jesus. So, one of the things I'm doing is I'm taking my 10-year-old. My 10-year-old came to me. We're going through the book Multiply. We talked about that book a few weeks ago. And he and I are starting to go through that book. I didn't know if he was old enough to do it yet, but he's interested in it. And so we're doing it very slowly, but we're doing it. And I've prefaced our meetings by saying, Darren, I want you to see that right off the bat, Jesus calls us to follow him. Okay? It's about being his disciple and following him. And so I took him to this passage. All right? So to be a disciple means to follow Jesus, to learn of him, for him to be your teacher. And as I read through this passage, I mean, it's true. I mean, you think about it, you know, to a 10-year-old, that's astounding. But these guys would have a job, that they would have a profession, that their dad would even be there. What's their dad going to think if they leave the family business to follow this, you know? To which my 10-year-old would say, man, wouldn't that have been a great episode on Deadliest Catch, you know? You know, you just see these guys on Deadliest Catch. You know, Jesus is calling the whole crew, come off the boats. These captains, they're grumpy people, right? If you've watched this show, they're grumpy people. They're not gonna cotton to that too much for that going on with Jesus calling them off the boat. And yet they do, because a disciple hears not just what a statement means, but how they should obey it. And in this context, there's something about Jesus, whether they know they can trust him, whether they've ever met him before, and I believe they have, they've at least probably heard of him, and he's calling them now to follow him. Jesus says that to be a follower, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, those followers who are students, they're not greater than their teacher. And slaves are not greater than their master. And then he says this, students are to be like their teacher. Some of you have translations. It is enough. It is enough, Jesus says, for a student to be like his teacher. And slaves are to be like their master. All right? Now drill down there on verse 25 and really listen to what Jesus is saying there. Students are to be like their teacher. If you're going to follow me, you're going to be like me, okay? There's an element of going to be like me. You're going to follow me. And Jesus, obviously, right off the bat, is a model for what it looks like to obey God. He's our model for obedience. So I want to submit to you this morning that through obedience, Jesus shows us what it looks like to leave the glory of heaven that the Father might be glorified. It is through obedience that Jesus leaves his home. He leaves the place that he rightfully belongs in union with the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He leaves that relationship. And as we said when we studied his life, God veils his glory, the glory that Jesus rightfully has, and he gives him a very lowly place on the earth to walk among men. So the glory of Jesus is veiled, the glory that he knew, that was rightfully his, he was privileged to be a part of, obviously because he's in relationship in the Trinity, it's his, he owns it, he leaves it. Which is in and of itself a model of what it looks like to be obedient to God. So some of you need to understand right off the bat that Jesus isn't like some parent who's asking you to obey him just because he's wanting to be convenient with the perks of his glory. He's asking you to be obedient because he wants you to follow him in obedience. That puts things in different perspective, doesn't it? When you consider what he left. Now, I've talked to some of you guys that are pilots in the congregation, and I'm not a pilot myself. I've had some interest in it over the years, but I've talked to some of you guys who fly your own airplanes, and if you've ever been a part of a community that knows what that kind of life's like, man, it's cush if you're riding on the planes. I mean, the pilots, they have a grueling schedule. They're on call all the time, but that kind of lifestyle, if you're privy to it, if you're part of it, man, it's amazing. I mean, you show up at the airport, you park 10 feet from the door, you walk in, somebody takes your bag to a private plane. Like I said, the guys here, they've flown these deals. You put your bag on that, they put your bag on that plane. You don't wait in any lines, you don't walk through any security. You hop on that plane like you're getting in your car in your garage. They got food sitting there for you when you get there. And I'm not talking about something that's brought out of the back cubbyhole in the back of a commuter flight. I'm talking about, you know, brought in stuff, catered stuff. You sit there and you can eat. You can leave when you want to. And if you're a little bit late, they'll wait on you. And then you get to where you're going, well fed and refreshed, all right? Surrounded in whatever you want to be surrounded by. You land, you get off that plane, there's a guy standing there who gets your bag, puts it in the back of the car that's right there by the plane. He shuts the trunk, you get in the car, and you drive off to where you're going. And you begin to believe that after you do that for a while, that's just the way it is. But it's not the way it is. And a lot of people who kind of ride the coattails of that kind of experience know that they don't really belong there in that environment, but it begins to get under your skin and you begin to expect it. And then you move to Evansville. And you're sitting in your office, and 2 weeks later, the executive pastor walks in your office and goes, "Hey, we're getting ready to go to a conference down in Atlanta. I want you to put that on your calendar and get ready to go." To which I say, "Are we going charter or are we going private?" And he looks at me like, "What are you talking about? Where do we catch the plane?" And he's like, No. "No, we go by van." And if you're lucky, the shocks have been changed every 90,000. What's my point? My point is that all the privileges, all the rights, Jesus showed us what it was like to walk away from that and to observe our existence, but to do so obediently. Don't ever think for 1 minute that Jesus didn't leave something for you. Don't ever think for 1 minute that he doesn't model what it looks like to lay down everything to come and serve you. As fulfilled in obedience to his mission, sent to him, or sent on his way by his Father. John 17, verse 1 through 5, before Jesus goes to the cross, after he teaches them, Jesus looked up to heaven and he prays. He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, to trust you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth. Notice what Jesus says. By completing the work you gave me to do, I've been obedient to your will. Now, Father, bring me into the glory that we shared before the world began. Do you see that? I'm ready to glorify you with the mission ultimate to bring that ultimate satisfaction to your glory, to restore to you the beauty of your holiness, to absorb the wrath of God because rebellious people have marred it and rebelled against it. I've come to make that right. I've come to destroy the works of Satan himself. And now I'm ready to come back home. I'm ready to be part of that relationship again that we had before the world began. Do you see that? Don't ever think for one minute that it was through obedience that Jesus left it all for us. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, after his crucifixion and after his resurrection, he came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority now. I was willing to lay that down, but God has given me now all authority, not just on earth, but in heaven, he says. Therefore, as a result of that authority, therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey, these new disciples, to obey. Teach them to obey all the commands that I have given you, and be sure of this. Be sure of this on your way as you are being obedient to this mission. I will be with you even to the end of the age. Man, there's no graduation speech, there's no commencement speech that compares to that. And that's the commissioning that Jesus gives his disciples. And as I'm leading my little 10-year-old through this, I say, see, Darren? Jesus begins his call to us with come and follow. But he ends with the commission that after we followed him, to be sure that we are to go and make. That it's not just enough to be obedient to follow, but it's to be obedient to go and make disciples as you have become a disciple. Jesus stated this very clearly. You go back and look through Matthew chapter 28, just again to highlight this. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth is mine. That's the basis for my commissioning. I have all authority. I can do this. God has given this to me. I've been submissive to his will. And now, in conjunction with everything that he's accomplished to me, I have his authority. I have his blessing. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now you do this as a result of that authority. And we worry about so much. I've lived long enough now to watch our country worry about so much. We worry about foreign nations. When I was a kid, it was the Russians, you know? It was the communists, not just the Russians, but the communists, right? And we had to put the nationality on it because, it was the communists and trying to figure out everything that was going on there. And there was fear there. There's fear in the economy. There's fear. There's always just fear lurking around every corner. And a lot of times, fear is put out there in front of us to manipulate us. It may not be a true fear, but it's there, it exists there to try to get us to do something, to manipulate us for a certain way. And we have to be careful about that. We have to be careful about that, obviously, as a government. We've got to be careful about that as parents. I want to manipulate my children just by fear. I don't want to let my fear paralyze them no more than I want my fear to paralyze me. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. If you're going to come and you're going to follow me, if you're going to make disciples, you've got to put your fear in check. because all authority has been given to me. You can't turn on the news now without feeling like this ISIS threat is just spreading across the world. And I love what John Piper tweeted a couple weeks ago about ISIS. I love it because it just puts I couldn't have said it this way. Only Piper could say it this way. But I mean, it's exactly what I feel. And Piper tweeted that ISIS says they're going to raise their flag in the capital of our nation. And Piper says, maybe so. Maybe so. But he points us back to Matthew 28. And Piper says, ISIS may raise their flag in our nation's capital, but Jesus Christ will tear it down forever. You can be certain that there is no flag higher. There's no people more favored. There is no authority greater in heaven and on earth than our Lord and Savior. You need to put your fear in check and always return to the promise that Jesus has given you there. It may mean we suffer. It may mean we struggle. But in following Him, we can be sure that the last word is always His. And the first word to us is come and follow in obedience and declare the glory of God. And to be commissioned through that following to go then and make disciples of other followers. Jesus says, teach them to obey all the commands that you've obeyed. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that, again, the first ceremonial, really illustrative way to declare your obedience to the Savior. So we baptize. After people make professions of faith in Him, after people declare their will to follow Him in obedience, we baptize them. To be a member of this church, you're baptized. Because you can't be a member of the body of Christ without obedience to Jesus. Again, we're not perfect in this, but it's the road that we choose to follow. And be sure of this, He is with us. He is with us to the end of the age. You may breathe your last breath struggling to do so, and the presence of the Savior will never leave you for a moment. Obedience, then, is a fitting response to the authority of Jesus Christ. If we want to glorify God by giving a response to God that befits that glory, obedience is obviously a fitting response to the authority of Jesus Christ. I love the way Oswald Chambers states this. If you read the devotion, My Utmost for His Highest, Chambers says, if I obey Jesus Christ, the redemption of God will flow through me into the lives of others, because behind the deed, behind the act of our obedience, lies the reality of Almighty God. So be resolved that since the glory of God is revealed through the obedience of His disciples, we will be about glorifying God by making other disciples. So how do I apply this resolution? What does it look like for me to take this message series, to wring it out in a few practical ways? Well, we've said it before, it begins here. Prayerfully consider a few people that you already know. Yeah, you can be related to them. You can work with them. You can run into them somewhere, I don't know, wherever God leads you. But as you prayerfully consider with intention a few people that you already know, you invite them for an intentional time to spend with you for the purpose of growing in Christ together. That's what it looks like to share your relationship with God with another person. And in doing so, secondly, you will consider how you have practiced obedience to Christ over the course of your life. How have you practiced obedience over the course of your life? And begin to use those examples to teach others how to obey. Every one of you, if you've walked with Jesus for some length of time at all, you know what it's like to count the cost about certain things and to trust God because you believe that He is for you as you are for Him, and you will follow Him, and this is how you've obeyed Him, and you can begin to share that obedience with other people. And you use those examples to teach others how to obey. And then begin to look for issues in their lives where transformation is needed in them, and begin to show what transformation in your life they can see. How have you been transformed? I sat with a guy last night, been around Evansville a lot longer than I have, has a great job, well-respected in the community, and I loved how oftentimes we were sitting there talking, how he would say, "That was before I was a believer." Yeah, that was me, but that was before I was a believer. And say, I've just known this guy for less than a decade. I've been acquainted with him to some degree, and yet I see in his life, a guy who I guess in some ways totally different. Obviously so. Why? Because through obedience and through transformation, God has made him the man he is now, not the man that he was. And those of you that have lived here all your life, it is a brave thing for you to walk among people who may have known you then, who may not even trust the transformation in your life, but you walk through your hometown redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and changed by the power of His Spirit, and you're not the man, you're not the woman that you once were. That's a courageous thing. And I've shared this with you before. Yeah, it scares me to death to go back home. I can be here now. You know me on the other side, right? That's the side I would rather. Believe me, I've got enough work to keep me busy, right? Staying on track. But at least I don't have to put up with the fact, right, that it was your cornfield that I burned down when I was in the sixth grade, right? It was your daughter whose heart I broke in junior high. And some of you live with those kind of things in this community, and many, many others for the mistakes that you made. And yet you're not the man you were. You're not the woman that you were. And you begin to share your testimony of the transformative power in people who just know you on the other side. And they'll look at you for a moment in disbelief. But they understand because they too need the same kind of transformation. And then finally, we make disciple makers, because making disciple makers, not just disciples, also involves obedience. As Jesus commissioned His followers, how will you now commission your few to begin making other disciples? And that's the missing link for some of us sitting here. That's the next step. Some of us need to be about the process of just beginning to prayerfully consider how we begin this. But some of you, you've been leading Bible studies. You've been walking with people forever. And if you're like me and you're insecurity, you kind of want to keep them close because they need you. They affirm you, right? And Jesus says, no. Your identity's not in them. Your significance is not in that person there. I have called you to release them. As I've commissioned my disciples, how are you commissioning others that you've been discipling? There comes a time when they need to leave you and go start their process of making other disciples. How are you going to commission those that you feel the need to cling to go out and live in the world? And for many of us in this town, we need to consider that in light of our parenting. God has not called you to keep your children close so you can keep them safe. He has called you as a mom and dad to make them disciples and send them into this world to make disciples. And we do that because we trust Him. And if this thing's ever going to get done, I believe if we're ever going to do this as a church, if we're ever going to be about this mission, again, I don't profess to do it perfectly. I got a lot of room to grow, and we all do. But we can boil it down to the words of that old hymn, that to make disciples, to glorify God by making disciples of all people, means that we trust, and it means that we obey. And we look to the model of our obedience. And we fulfill His commission. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for what your word has opened up to us today. Many of us need to just look at your model of obedience and how you left glory to show us something. Father, I pray that you would help us to remember that you are with us every step of the way. Help us to put our fear in check for what can compare to your eternal worth, what can compare to your eternal power. And no matter what we face in a broken and a fallen, sometimes terrifying world, God, we are just passing through this life. And one day we will too be invited in to share that glory that you shared with your Son before the foundation of the world. It is our privilege to look forward to that day and to count it precious. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to evaluate our risks as your people and begin to build relationships with those that you place in our path. For Jesus' sake and to his glory, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you again for being here this weekend for the baptism. God bless you. We'll see you hopefully next week. Come back.